Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Praise God, dear Elity. Pastor Moses here. How are you? How is God keeping you? I hope you are all well. I look forward to seeing us together again. I have only seen a couple of you since we last gathered as a body. Let us continue praying that the government will release us as soon as yesterday, so that we can corporately bless our Lord. Amen. On the 31st of this month of August 2020, we shall be making 6 years as a church. To that we give God all the glory. I will therefore use today and the next 3 Sundays of this month to remind ourselves of the reason God birthed LAT, how we have successfully reached where we are, and how we shall arrive at and stay in our destiny. Today, I feel we should listen to the message I shared on 3rd November 2019. That message was entitled, God Swears to LAT, Part 2. I have edited it in order to capture what God really meant on 27th October 2019 when he made an oath to LAT. Nothing, even COVID, can stop us from becoming the blessing we're supposed to be to Uganda and the nations. Why? Because God swore to us. And since he swore to us, our future is certain. No human being, no condition, and no devil can stop us, LAT. God will fulfill his oath to us to take us into our destiny, no matter what. Glory be to his name. So, dear church, listen to this message and be encouraged by the faithfulness of our covenant-keeping God. Since this message is an edited earlier sermon, and this introduction has been added to it for purposes of our anniversary, it is entitled LAT at 6, Part 1. God will never forget LAT. Be blessed as you listen. May God bless you. Thank you, Vanessa. Let's give a big hand clap. Let's give a big hand clap to praise and the worship team. Hallelujah. Welcome back from last Sunday. Okay, last Sunday was awesome. Sunday was good. Yes, it was a worship service that the Lord asked for through dreams that Esther had. And so we did it. And when we did it, or just as we got ready to do it, the Lord told us that he swore, okay, just like he swore to Abraham after he had offered up his son, Isaac. So God said that because you have also offered up your best to me, okay, I swear that blessing, I'll bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. Hallelujah. Okay, so he was saying that concerning all the promises I've given you as a church, as individuals, I now swear that I will do those things. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. It's one thing for God to give you a promise, alright? It's another thing for him to swear. Abraham received promises to be multiplied over and over again over several years. But a day came when God said, now concerning all those things that I've told you, now I swear. Hallelujah. And when God swears, it means we should have all the confidence that what he promised will come to pass. Glory be to God. So that was on Sunday.
Then on Monday, like I wrote in the words for the week, I was driving my daughters to school. I switched on a radio station, and then I had the presenter reading a scripture, and that scripture says, it is in Isaiah 14:24. It says that, and the Lord has sworn, okay? You've seen that word? The Lord has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. Okay? I'm driving the girls to school, and I'm thinking about what happened on Sunday. You understand how God swore. Then the presenter on radio reads this scripture. Glory be to God. Okay, and the Lord says that because I have sworn, that means that all that I've promised will come to pass. And what I've purposed will stand. It cannot be erased. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 26, verse 3. Genesis chapter 26, verse 3. God tells Isaac that dwell in this land and I'll be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I give all these lands and I'll perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. The key word there is swore. All right. So when did God swear to Abraham to give him the land? It is in Genesis chapter 15 from verse 7. It says that then he, God, said to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And Abraham said, Lord God, how shall I know that I'll inherit it? Okay? These guys had an understanding that things are not just for what? For saying. Alright? They had you have to show something more concrete. So he said, Lord, how shall I know that I'll inherit it? Verse 9, God said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then Abraham brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then God said to him, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them and they will afflict them for 100 years. And also, the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Verse 15, now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. As in, you shall die. Okay? You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they, your descendants, shall return here. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Let's pause there. Sometimes God can delay to fulfill a promise. Okay? Because he's trying to put things in order. Okay? One of the things we see here concerning the promised land was that there are some guys who are sinning. And that is the land I'm going to give you. However, they haven't sinned until a certain what? Level. So that I can throw them out. Do you understand? This is strange, but it's in your Bibles. God said, first wait. I want their sin to first reach a certain what? Level. Then I'll do what? I'll wipe them out. Verse 17. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between these pieces. This was the Lord. On the same day, the Lord God made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land. All right. Now, he told Isaac that I swore. But now here, we don't see the words, swear, okay? So, what it means that when God makes a covenant, he's actually swearing. Alright? So, he says that on this day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, to your descendants, I have given this land. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, like I told you, we are going to see how God was faithful to what he swore. By the way, the reason why these animals were cut into two, all right? That's how those guys used to make covenants in those days. And one of the things that meant is that if you do not fulfill your part of the covenant, okay, you're going to become like these animals. As in, you're going to die. That's what it means. Alright? You're dying. Eh? Okay? Your blood is going to be shed. So, now God comes and walks through, okay, the blood. Eh? Alright? Now, what is he saying? He's essentially telling Abraham that if I don't do this, okay, basically, I am not God. As in, I deserve to die. But of course, we know God cannot what? Die. But now he's just trying to prove a point to Abraham that if I don't do this, okay, I will become like what? These dead animals. Glory be to God. Now that's what it means when God swears. When God swears, it means if he doesn't do what he has vowed to do, all right, he's as good as dead. Glory be to God. Now, let us see how God went ahead to fulfill what he saw to Abraham, what he saw to Isaac, what he saw to Jacob concerning that land. So, he told him, your descendants will go to a land, not their own, and they will be oppressed. Alright? Now, that came to pass. Then, years later, God calls Moses and he sends him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt to the land he swore. Okay? Now when he calls Moses, he tells him in Exodus chapter 6 verse 8, he tells him that I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? To the land which I what? Which I swore. Now this is hundreds of years. But God is like, I swore to some guys. Okay? And I have to do what I swore. Hallelujah. Now, Moses goes, gets the children of Israel out. Okay? And then after 40 years, they entered the promised land. Glory be to God. All right. Then, in Joshua chapter 21 verse 43, it says that so the Lord God gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Glory be to God. You see, saying, I swore, okay? And now I have done it. God swore, and now this is hundreds of years. This is not 3 years. Glory be to God. God gets the children of Israel into the land he swore to give them. Okay? And Joshua says that the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn, and they dwelt in it. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, about 500 years later, remember the children of Israel were 12 tribes, okay, from the 12 sons of Jacob, okay? Now, about 500 years later, the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. You know that, okay? Two kingdoms, The northern kingdom had 10 tribes. The southern kingdom had 2 tribes. Why was it divided? Actually, it is God who divided it. Why? Because of the sins, you know, of Solomon, the wise man. Okay, by the way, you can be so wise, and then you don't use your wisdom. Solomon, a wise man, and none was wiser than him. Okay, but he ended up marrying some hot chicks who got him to worship their gods. And God was angry with that. And he told him, in the days of your son, your heir, I'm going to divide the kingdom. I'm going to give 10 tribes to your servant, and you'll remain with 2, Judah and Benjamin. 500 years later, the kingdom is divided. The northern kingdom, called Israel or Ephraim, after Joseph's son, Ephraim, okay, and the southern kingdom, called Judah, consisting of Judah and who? Benjamin. Glory be to God. So, it was divided. Okay, then 200 years after the division, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, were taken into exile. And for your own information, they never returned. Why were they taken into exile? Because of sin. Alright, because of what? Sin. Hallelujah. Because of sin. So, then, 120 years after they were taken into exile, even the southern kingdom of Judah was also taken into exile. They were taken to Babylon. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? Alright? That's where he comes in. Okay? Daniel and his friends, you know those stories, all those songs? That is where they come in. Okay? Now, Jeremiah had prophesied by the word of the Lord that Judah, the southern kingdom, okay, would return after 70 years. After how many years? 70. And they returned. But the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, they disappeared. Those are what you commonly will hear or read called the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Alright? But the northern kingdom, the 2 tribes, returned. Okay? And they were in the land by the time Jesus was born. Alright? Jesus, by the way, was from the tribe of Judah. So, Jesus' ancestors returned. Paul the apostle was from which tribe? Benjamin. You remember the southern kingdom had 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The other tribes, Reuben, all the, you know, they were lost. Of course, there were a few of those tribes which assimilated into these other 2, but more or less they disappeared. Sadly. That is very sad. However, God told Ezekiel, okay, gave him a prophecy to tell the people, and of course to us, that a day is coming if, when all the 12 tribes of Israel will come back in the land. By the way, about 40 years after Jesus, you know, had gone to heaven, even the southern kingdom were also thrown out of the land. You remember? By the Romans. They were thrown out of the land. And some other people who took over the place. Okay? Thrown out of the land. The land which God swore that I'll give you. Okay? In a sense, God himself throws them out of the land. Why? Because of sin. But God had sworn. Alright? So because God had sworn, even when he throws them out of the land, he sought to give them, he has to bring them back. Because he swore. Glory be to God. He swore. It was not just a promise. He swore. He gave his oath to Abraham. And he can't break it. Because if he breaks it, he's no longer God. He deserves to die. Do you understand? Okay. I'm sharing all of this to let you know how crucial, how important it is when God last Sunday said that I swear concerning the promises I've given, discharge. You understand? He has no option but to do what he promised. You can see your guys are sinning. He throws them out. But because he swore, he has to bring them back. Do you understand? Because he swore, if it had just been just a promise, he would be like, now, you've messed yourselves up, it is over. But he swore, glory be to God, made a covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Ezekiel chapter 37 from verse 15. Ezekiel said that the word of the Lord came to me saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Okay? Who has a pen? Okay? You have one pen. Who has another pen? Okay. All right, that stick. Then he says, take another stick and write on it for Joseph. Remember? Ephraim, okay, the southern kingdom. Okay, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, the other nine tribes. All right? Then he says, then join them one to another, to yourself, into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of Israel, your people, speak to you saying, will you not show us what you mean by this? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, okay, the northern kingdom, the ten tribes, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, okay, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my what? In my hand. Remember, ten tribes were lost. Two came back in the land. Then later they were also banished from the land. But God had told Ezekiel that a day will come when I will join these tribes once again. And there will be one. Okay? Verse 20. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Verse 21. Then said to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone. And I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be over them. Okay? They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defy themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be prince forever. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in the 20th century, these tribes, Judah and Benjamin, they started going back to Israel. Okay. Meanwhile, the other 10 are lost. They are lost. Okay. But these other two began to go back. Okay. And Israel was established the nation again in 1948. Okay. Many Jews from Europe, America, many of them have returned to Israel. All right. But the 10 tribes, no one knows. Some of them even don't know that they are what? They are descended from Israel. Jacob, they don't know. But God says in Zembamani, glory be to God. For me, I know them. And I'll bring them back. Hallelujah. Why? Because I swore. Okay? So, he tells them they'll be back. All the 12. Alright? By the way, I listened to something sometime last month, and they say that actually, there are some people who, I think they came from Iraq and wherever, and they said, they told the government of Israel, we are Israelites. Alright? And apparently they gave evidence. Okay? But they said, however, we are not Jews. Okay? Remember, the word Jew comes from the word Judah. You understand? So they said, we are descendants of Israel. We are your brothers. However, we are not Jews. And we qualify to come back to our land. But we don't want to be Jews. God, for them, they understand the difference. You understand? And apparently, you know, some have actually returned. Okay? They somehow knew their history. Glory be to God. So anyway, these guys, you know, they went, they assimilated, okay, but they somehow knew, okay, they somehow what? Knew that man, we are Israelites. Some of them. So later they come back to the Israeli government. We are part of you and want to come back. However, we are not Jews. And we are not coming back to practice Judaism. Because we are not Jews. Okay, but we are part of the what? The 12 tribes. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, when they come back, Ezekiel has said, they will have one king. David will be their king. Do you understand? Okay? Now, why is David going to be their king? Okay? Or a descendant of David? It's because even that one, God swore years ago. God did what? He swore thousands of years ago. He swore to David. Hallelujah. That we find in Psalm 89, one of the best Psalms in the Bible. Okay? Psalm 89, verse 3 and 4. God says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David. Okay, you see there? I have sworn. Meaning that it cannot be refuted. I can't repent of it. It cannot change. I have sworn to my servant David. Your seed I will establish for how long? Forever. And build up your throne to all generations. Glory be to God. David dies, all right? He leaves his son Solomon in charge. Solomon, Bohochik's, mess him up. For that reason, the kingdom gets divided in two. All right? 10 tribes are banished from the land. They disappear, lost tribes. Okay, the other two are also exiled. Okay, 120 years later. Okay? Then things happen. They return later. Then they're hundreds of years later until Jesus. But God is like, I swore to David. I have never forgotten. Okay, I have to do this. Then he tells Ezekiel one day that the day is coming when all these tribes will be back in the land because I swore. And David will be their king. Why? Because I swore. Glory be to God. Amen. I'm telling you, it is going to become the largest church in this city. Now, those are not my words. Those are, it was first, remind me, of course, it's Asha's dream, where she dreamt what? Then there was a dream where a young kid, like 5 years, in this dream, this 5-year-old kid was telling me that that little thing that you have begun to build, it is going to become the largest. A year or so later, Asha, who didn't know about that dream, okay, shared the same one, okay? And recently, the Lord gave us the number of years in which that is going to be accomplished, okay? All those were promises until last Sunday when God swore. Glory be to God. Amen. I remember in 2015, the first Tuesday of 2015, Elvis Umbonye, okay, before he fell, was driving me home. No, in the fellowship, he came and, professor, he came and prayed for me. He prayed in the Holy Ghost, okay, but he didn't say anything. Now, as he's driving me home after that, I asked him that, what is that that you are praying for me about? Then he said that the Lord had told him, okay, to anoint me so that the church I had begun, this church, okay, would become the leading church in the city. Now, not largest, okay? Okay, leading. Glory be to God. Now, last Sunday, the Lord swore. Glory be to God. The Lord swore that those things I have to do them. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And other things. Okay. Hallelujah. So he saw to David, and that's how he tells Ezekiel that David will have to be king because I saw. Okay. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Gabriel appears to Mary, and he tells her that, and behold, you conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. He shall call his name Jesus. Okay? You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Hallelujah. Amen? By the way, by the time Jesus was born, okay, there was no king. Okay? Remember, kings were supposed to be from Judah. But by the time Jesus was born, the nation was, messed up. King Herod was just a fake guy. Hallelujah. Okay? He was just a fake guy. Okay? But anyway, the angel tells this young girl, and that son, Jesus, will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Okay, why is God doing now? Jesus can never die, isn't it? So now with Jesus, that promise is now secured. Glory be to God. And by the way, he's coming back soon. And if my dream I had about 4 years ago was from God, I know the approximate number of years we have left. Glory be to God. And for me, I behave like that dream was from heaven. Hallelujah. I don't interfere in other people's things, how they lead their lives. Okay? You hear, you know, people talking about how I'm building this house. Then my great-grandchildren will what? Will stay in it. Eh? You know, possibly. Okay, in the millennium, you know. However, you can see the return of the Lord is not in the picture. So for me, I just look at the guy like, I'm telling you that dream, and I believe it is what? From heaven. Okay? In your, in that dream, it was your friend, eh? Ronnie, who was telling me. So he told me a certain number of years, X. Then I asked him, you mean this number of years? He said, no, don't quote me that exactly those number of years. Okay? Then you put a plus, minus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But before he comes, alright, this church will be the largest. Alright? So even that promise, when I look at it, it is still in that what? Time frame. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, remember, God swore to give them the land. Okay? They went to Egypt, and then God got them out and gave them the land. He had sworn, eh? Okay? However, not all of them entered the land. Not all of them entered the land. Why? Because they messed up God and he swore that temuja kuingira yo. Okay? Every time you see man that word in the Bible swearing, just know it is a done deal. Okay? Psalms 95 from verse 10. God says that for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and I said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Okay? They shall not enter the promised land. The reason why it was some who are not going to enter, do you know why? Who can guess why it's only some who couldn't enter and some were going to enter? Sarah. Okay. Yes. Yes. That's true, by the way. Judith. Because he had sworn. So if he clears, he can't clear all of them. Do you understand? He can't clear all of them. Glory be. He can't. Because he swore. He has to leave some. Do you understand? Okay. And thankfully, there were some who were what? Who obeyed God. Okay. And even those who he cleared, okay, he left their children. Okay. Those below 20. Okay. The men below 20, they remained. Okay. But the other hopeless fathers were cleared. But God couldn't destroy all of them because he had what? Kulailad. That they have to enter the land. I have to give the, I can't give this land to anybody. I can't give it to the Palestinians. Are you listening to me? I can't give it to the Iranians. I can't give it to whoever. I swore to the Jacob. To Isaac, to Abraham. Glory be to God. Okay, so they shall not enter, but not all of them. Some have to enter because they swore. Glory be to God. Okay? Joshua chapter 5, verse 6. Joshua chapter 5, verse 6. Joshua says that for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who are men of war, 20 years and above, who came out of Egypt were consumed. Alright? Why? Because he had sworn. You remember? We have seen it that they can't enter. Okay, but some will enter because earlier, hundreds of years ago, I swore. Hallelujah. The reason why I'm sharing all these things is to let you understand what last Sunday meant. Do you understand? This is the whole reason why I'm sharing. The for one reason. When God last Sunday said he has sworn, okay, take it very seriously. Glory be to God. Okay? That's why now I'm preaching to, I don't know how many people. We could be less than 20, minus visitors, all right? But for me, I'm like, God swore. Hallelujah. Gonna become what? The largest. Hallelujah. Amen. So me and the pastor, for me, I'm in my own world. What you guys are thinking, oh, we are very small. What? When shall we go? Those are yours. For me, God swore. In the past, it was promises. Okay? Last Sunday, he swore. Hallelujah. Okay? So Sam did not enter the land. By the way, sadly, even Moses didn't enter the land. Moses, the prophet of God, he didn't enter. That is very sad. This guy walked with Moses, rather with God. Okay, but he didn't enter. All right? Deuteronomy, you remember God told him to speak to the rock, and water will come out for the people to drink. Okay? At first, he told him to strike the rock. Okay? And he did it, and water gushed out, and they drank. Then sometime later, they needed water. He told him, speak to the rock. Moses was annoyed, and he struck the rock twice. Yet God said, speak. And for that reason, okay, God is like, okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 21, he says that the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. You wonder whether Moses was telling the truth. Okay? The Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swore. Have you seen that word? He swore that I would not cross over the Jordan and that I would not enter the good lands. Hallelujah. The good land. Jews call Israel the holy land. You're not entering. And because he has sworn, it's a done deal. It is not just a promise. Okay? So, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 4 says, then the Lord said to him, this is Moses, this is the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I'll give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. Okay? So he took him to a mountain, a high place, and he showed him the land. He's like, whatever, you know, but you're not entering. I'm just showing you. Yeah? Man, that can be very painful. Okay, why don't I just show you? Just show you. Okay, so he says, you will not cross over. Verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. The word which he had sworn. Glory to God. Do you understand? I want you to go, do a Bible study. Okay? And just look up that word. The word oath, swear, swore, sworn. That's what I did, by the way. Starting Monday, I began. I got my, an electronic Bible, and I began a search. Okay? Swear, swore, sworn, oath. Okay? That's how I came up with all this wonderful what? Wonderful teaching. Glory be to God. Now, as the children of Israel, when they got out of Egypt, on their way to the land which God had sworn to give them, there were some characters, a tribe of people called the Amalekites. They decided to attack Israel on its way to the promised land and move for nothing. And God swore something to those guys. Okay? Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. It says that now Amalek, from where we get the word Amalekites, came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Okay? Now let's jump to verse 13. So when they attacked them, okay, Moses told Joshua to fight back. Eh? Okay? Verse 13 says, so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Chiwandike. Okay. Write it. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. Okay? Jehovah Nissi, I think it is. For he said, because the Lord has what? Sworn. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. You see there? The Lord has sworn. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. Moses is going. He's not entering the land. He's going to die. Okay? But he says, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you are coming out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks. All the stragglers at your rear. When you are tired and weary, he did not fear God. Therefore, it shall be, when the Lord God has given you rest from your enemies all around in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Then he says, you shall not forget. All right? Well, I guess even if they forgot, God wouldn't forget. Why wouldn't he forget? Number one, because it's God. Tell me that. Number two, he had sworn that I'm going to wipe out these guys for what they did to my people as they were marching to the land I'd sworn to give them. Glory be to God. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to see how Saul, a king, got into trouble with God because he spared an Amalekite. Okay? Remember, these guys are supposed to be destroyed. This king grabs an Amalekite in battle and he spares him. God is like, hi, yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, Saul is told by prophet Samuel, he is told that now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare. All right? Utterly do what? Destroy. Then, verse 7 and 8. And Saul obeyed, okay, to attack. He attacked the Amalekites from that place to that place. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. Stop there. Okay? He spared a guy whom God had said, first of all, destroy all of them. And hundreds of years later, God had sworn that I have to clear all these guys. Now I've given you a chance to grab one of them. You have spared him. And Saul got into trouble with God. Do you understand how serious God takes an oath? How serious he takes it when he swears. Saul gets into trouble with God. Verse 10 and 11. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, okay, saying, I am grieved that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Verse 28. Verse 28, Mark. Okay? My whatever is messing me up also. So that's why I'm relying on you now, Mark. Okay? Rachel, pray for Mark, your husband. The guy, okay, spared an Amalekite whom God had sworn, okay, I'm going to clear all of them. Glory be to God. Okay? Do you understand Now what Sunday meant when God swore? For me, I understand it, man. That's why, anyway. Alright? Hallelujah. Now, King David was wiser. One day when he was fleeing from Saul, Saul wanted to kill him, he's fleeing. Okay, then the Amalekites attacked a city called Ziklag, where David and his men were hiding. Alright? 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, it says that now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south. Okay? The south and Ziklag, okay, they had burnt it down. So David inquired of the Lord whether he should pursue them, and God says, do so. Verse 17, okay, and David smote them from what? From what? Twilight or twilight? Okay, twilight. So David attacked them from twilight until the morning or the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men. Okay? Those young men are what? Amalekites. Those ones escaped. But it wasn't David's fault. Okay? It wasn't. Okay? Now, 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verse 43. Okay? Sometime later, some of the children of Israel from the tribe of Simeon, I think, had an opportunity and they killed those 400 men. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 43. And they defeated the rest of the Amalekites who had what? Escaped. Glory be to God. So, do we have Amalekites living today? I don't know. But this is the last time the Bible talks about them. So I don't know if they cleared them. But the point is, God was like, I swore and I have to do it. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, you can see in a sense, we have gone through the history of Israel. Isn't it? We kind of. But our purpose was to see what God means when he swears. Okay, so, as I began to prepare this on Monday and Tuesday, and I was seeing how that this is going to appear, like what the history of Israel and its future. You remember, we've talked about the future in Ezekiel 37, how those tribes will come back. David will be their king. Okay, so I was a bit curious when I saw how this house is going to flow. It is basically Israel, the nation. So I was like, God, you know, there's something, you know, there's something. Why, you know, I just want to tell people what it means when you swear. But now it looks like we're going through the history of Israel. Okay? So I couldn't see nothing until yesterday. Okay? Until yesterday. I have a website I read every day. Okay? This website is called This Day in History. Okay, you know, I'm a historian. Okay? I'm trying. Because if you want to grow wise, you had better know what happened in the past. Sigua so say, you understand? Okay, you had better know what happened. You had better know why people in the past succeeded and why they failed. Okay, so that you can get, you know, wisdom from those things. So every day, okay, I go to that website to see what happened on that day. So yesterday, remember, it was 2nd November. I read that 2nd November, 1917, okay, is when the British, remember, the British at that time were the greatest empire. They were the strongest in the world. That is when they gave Israel, okay, the permission, okay, to go and establish a homeland in what at that time was called Palestine. Glory be to God. So on 2nd November 1917, this is towards the close of the First World War. Glory be to God. Okay? Foreign Secretary after James Balfour writes an important letter to Britain's most illustrious Jewish citizen, okay, his names are there, expressing the British government's support for a Jewish homeland in Palestine. The letter would eventually become known as the Balfour Declaration, 1917. Glory be to God. And the Lord says, that is it. That is why indirectly, okay, I was going to make you do what? A history of Israel and its future. Okay, on this day. Hallelujah. So, the British, whether they knew it or not, okay, they were just being used as pawns. Do you understand? Remember, at this time, there's no nation called Israel. Okay, from 70 AD, like 40 years after the ascension of the Lord, okay, 40 years later, in 70 AD, the Romans threw out Judah and Benjamin out of the land. Alright? Remember, hundreds of years ago, the other 10 tribes were lost. Okay? So, in 1917, the process of return begins. Alright? 1917, 2nd November, it begins. Why is it beginning? Why must it begin? And it has to end because the Lord swore. Now he's using people as pawns. Glory be to God. So Jews began to return. Of course, it wasn't easy. The Arabs fought. All right. They fought. Then in 1948, Israel is declared a nation. All right. And from that time, more and more Jews from Europe, from America, from North Africa, from Iraq, from Iran, they began migrating back to their homeland, which God had sworn. Okay, and the majority of them were from Benjamin and Judah. Okay, what you call the Jews. The other 10 were somewhere else. Okay, but I read that they began to get back. According to Ezekiel, okay, remember the two sticks? They will all come back. They will all get back in the land. Why? Because God swore. Okay? David will be their king. Why? Psalm 89. God swore to him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen? This is meant to encourage you. And I believe this is a sign that God is serious about this. 2nd November. Hallelujah. So God has sworn to you that in blessing, he will bless you. And in multiplying, he'll multiply you. God has sworn to LAT that surely a day will come when this church will be the leading church. A day will come when LAT, and he gave us the number of years, when it will become the largest in the city for the glory of God. Amen? Now use this for the promises God has given you. Okay? God says, I will surely perform what I swore unto you. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.